wafting across the pastoral vistas of the new basement studios by the lake, this is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, 3,000 miles of opinion.
This is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, and I'm Zeph, and I am alone. And I'm not in the new basement studios by the lake, I'm actually in our alternative studio, the upstairs studios by the river. And that's actually not podcast stick that we do. You actually can see the river from here if the six buildings in between were demolished and it was fall so that there were no leaves on the tree. That's another way of saying I'm on my own. My partner, Eric, is away on his vacation with the other member of the household. I think they've gone out of town, probably to the shore, I'm told, but I'm not going to say any more than that. But he will come back tanned and probably wet, because he's been to the shore. So what that means is I am on my own for this show. And when I'm on my own, well, what it means is, well, you're going to get clips. Now, before you roll your eyes or criticize or softly curse to yourself, why am I listening to this? Let me explain. The clips you will hear on this show are not Best of Atlantic Voice clips. That was the last show. And if you haven't gone and listened to the last show, please go back just one stop in your feed on iTunes or Google or Spotify or however you listen to us and listen to the 2020 Best of Special, which of course is our clip show with our year in review with all the highlights, for want of a better word, from the Atlantic Voice. No, this is a clip show, but it is going to be slightly different, and I will explain shortly. Now, you're probably wondering, well, why on earth am I even doing an Atlantic Voice podcast when my partner is not with me? Because remember, this show is a two-man operation. Well, why am I doing it? Well, if our last show was the clip show, if you actually look at your calendar, it's been about 6 weeks or more since my partner and I have interacted and produced a live show together. Now, my partner doesn't get hung up on this sort of thing, but I do. I check our ratings all the time. I go in every day and I look on our computer system and I see how many people have downloaded the Atlantic Voice podcast. And we average about 700-800 listens a month, which is not bad considering we only do one or two shows a month right now. Since we have been forced apart by the coronavirus, it's actually put a little bit of a crimp on our style, and we've not sat across from each other in the new basement studios due to that, and so it's made it a little bit more difficult because we've been remote and separated. But we normally do one or two shows a month, and so I get very hung up, A, on our ratings, and B, I have this sort of nasty subliminal fear that if we're not putting out content, all you out there, friends of the pod, will bail on us. Now, I know you wouldn't, because we've been on for nearly 8 years now, and our listenership has gone from a couple of dudes to a whole lot of dudes and dudettes out there in the world. But I get very sort of paranoid that if we're not throwing stuff out in the feed, you might think that something has happened to us, that we are gone, because the world is full of podcasts right now. Nearly, you know, everyone and his wife seems to have a podcast. And so I worry that if you don't get new content from us for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, you might look at yourself in the mirror and go, well, I guess those guys are done with the podcasting thing. Or you might think something worse. Perhaps Eric will never return from his vacation. Perhaps I have fallen down a large hole. I'm not making a lot of sense, because let me tell you something for free. Doing this show on your own is very, very difficult. And if you listened to the Best of Show, you're probably sitting there thinking, well, that show is very smooth and very well put together. Well, that's because that's scripted. Everything I say in that show, I've written out. All the punchlines. All three of them. But this, right now, today, I'm just winging this. And as my partner and I have had this discussion before, winging it is very, very hard. Sitting on your own and talking to a wall is very difficult. Here in the alternative studios by the river, I'm actually sitting at my desk with all the equipment, and I have a table lamp. And so I am now looking at the table lamp as if it was my absentee partner. But the difference is, when there are silences, when I run out of things to say, well, the table lamp isn't going to give me anything. At least, not going to give me the same kind of back and forth as my absentee partner does. Anyway, as I was saying, I don't like it when we're not putting out shows, because I do have this fear that you will all bail on us. So you're getting a show, and this is a new show. And like I say, the content in it, I guarantee, even though there are clips, will be new to you. So this is not something that you've heard before, unlike the best of. If you listen to the best of, go back any year's best of, if you were a fan during that time, then you've heard those bits before. Of course, you probably haven't remembered them, but you have heard them. Because the one thing we don't do on this show is we've never done guest hosts. And that is something that my partner and I have discussed. We do guests. We have had guests on during time, but we've never had a guest host. I know that's some weird sort of like old school Tonight Show, when Johnny Carson's away, the guest host is Joan Rivers or whoever it may be. But we don't do guest hosts. Not that we don't have people that would do it. A longtime friend of the show, Spike Guest Cameron, who you heard on our Christmas special. I have asked him, would you ever want to be a guest host when one of us is away? And he's very honest. He's like, look, I've been on your show and I don't think much of your show. So why on earth would I do it when one of you is away? So no, Spike Guest Cameron sort of politely declined any possibility, any potential of a guest host role. Detective Mike, I know, you know, if he could be a guest host, although I think Detective Mike is actually better going out there and researching for us. I'm not sure I trust Detective Mike in front of a microphone. Also, science advisor of the pod, Ken. He's someone that we've talked about as a potential guest host, but I'm going to be very upfront. Science advisor of the pod, chief science advisor, I think is his technical term, currently has an assignment for us that we will be covering on an upcoming show. And I need to actually go onto the internet and see if I can find what that is. But it's something to do with the state of New Hampshire, which is where chief science advisor is based. The state of New Hampshire are now processing licenses for self-driving flying cars. I think that I have that correct. So that'll be something that my partner and I, when he returns, will cover on the show. So, you know, we don't do guest hosts, unfortunately. And while my partner doesn't worry about ratings and worry about our fans, I do. So I've become slightly desperate and thought, well, we need to put out a show. I need to put out a show. So in the act of sort of cleaning out one's fridge, I have a whole load of clips lying around that I am going to play, but they are all tangentially linked to the Atlantic Voice podcast. And I'll explain why. So obviously, many of you probably listen to us, I'm guessing, from looking at the ratings, because that is sort of the general theme. Many of you listen to us via iTunes. Pops up in your feed, you just click on it, play, off you go, nice and easy. You don't have to think, show's just delivered to you. Plug it in, you plug in your headphones, you listen on your phone, you listen in your car, you listen on your computer, however you do it, it's right there. I know many of you listen via Spotify and Google, which are other areas that the show goes out. And I do think, too, from looking at our stats, and we have this big computerized system that we pay for that tells us how people have listened. And it also tells us where. Like, I know that we have people in about 60 different countries that listen to us. Now, it could be like some bot, but still, 60 different countries. I can tell within the U.S., where people have listened to us, what state they're in. We're very popular in the state of New York. We're very popular in New England. Quite a few listeners on the left coast. A couple of states don't pay any attention to us. South Dakota, Iowa, New Mexico, the great state of Virginia. And I'm now not just listing states because we've had 2 weeks of political conventions here in the US and we don't do politics, so I won't say anymore. So I'm not just going to list states. But anyway, our stats, I can tell sort of who, not who specifically, but who in a general sense has listened to us. But anyway, my original point was that the original way to get our show is to go to our blog, AtlanticVoice.net. And you just go there, you click on it, and you'll see at the top of the page, it's got our logo, and it just looks like any cheap homemade blog. It's just got a couple of pictures and our logo, and it says at the top, latest show. And most weeks, if you go by, the latest show is the latest Atlantic Voice podcast. But because we own a website, and because we have collected other content over the years, if you scan down the page, you'll see a couple of other things. You'll see something called When in Foam, and I will explain that shortly. You'll also see something right now called Email from America, Raw, and I will explain that shortly. But basically, within our blog, there are a couple of different shows. Now, the only show that will show up on your iTunes feed, the only show that is force-fed to you, is the Mothership, the podcast. But if you're ever short of things to listen to, if you go to our blog page, atlanticvoice.net, you will see all kinds of other content. Now, to be entirely fair, a lot of the other content is me. So if you listen to this show for my partner, you might be a little disappointed because he does not appear in the other posts as much as I do. Now, that being said, if you listen to this show just for my partner and you just put up with me, then frankly, what are you doing? Because this is a two-man operation. I don't know anyone who watches Laurel and Hardy and says, well, Hardy was great, but I didn't like the other one. Nah, you know. Oh, you know, I like the Three Stooges. I just don't like that one dude. But I watch every week, but I don't like that one dude. Or maybe there are people who do that. I don't know. So anyway, what I'm going to do on this show, on this clip show, on this cleaning out the fridge show, I'm actually going to give you a quick once around some of the other content you can find on our blog. But what I'm going to do for you, because I've already warned you that all those other shows is just me, what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to play a lot of bits where my partner is in it. So this is still an Atlantic Voice podcast, because it's still him and me. Just because we're not in the same room together doesn't mean we are not talking to you together. So anyway, if you go to the blog, if you go to the blog page, atlanticvoice.net, you can hear me say that a lot. You will see at the top right now will be latest show. And if you're listening to this, the latest show will be this, the Atlantic Voice release date, 2nd of September, and whatever we're calling this one. I think I'm calling this shameless self-promotion. That'll appear at the top of the page. Now, our more recent episodes of this show, you can scroll down the page, you'll see a column down there that says Atlantic Voice, and you'll probably see this show again there, and then below it you will see the best of show, which was our last show before this one. So, you know, if you're in some situation where you're on a different computer and you don't have your iTunes, or you're sitting at, you know, at a desk and you want to listen to us, you just go to the blog, you click on one of our shows. If you go to that blog page, what you'll see on the next section down is something called When in Foam, and there will be 5 episodes. When in Foam, for those of you who don't know, last year, yours truly, with some help from my partner, wrote a 5-part situation comedy. And I'm really upfront. I said that kind of slowly and softly, and I'm very upfront. You know, one man's comedy is another man's 40 minutes of, seriously, I didn't laugh once. But anyway, we wrote, it's originally scripted, it's a show about a chap called Bill Barkley, and it's like one of those sort of very regular TV sitcoms with a laugh track. There's this dude, he's got his wife, he's got stepdaughters, and he gets into scrapes, whatever it may be. I think on one episode, you know, he has to do a 3K run, and of course, because he's completely unfit, he cooks up some scheme where he has his stepdaughters give him beer instead of sports drinks to give him energy to get through the run. Yes. On another show, he is in charge of his stepdaughters while his wife is away, and one of his stepdaughters gets hit on the head at school and she gets a concussion, and hijinks ensue. Anyway, my partner and I are very proud of it because we wrote it, and I don't want to get too deep into that process because there's nothing worse than listening to artists talk about their art. But when you write 5 episodes that are 30 to 35 minutes, it's about 200 pages. It was quite a lot. I sat there and I said to my partner, wow, we've just completed the novel that everyone has in them at 200 pages. Anyway, I play Bill Barkley, the lead character. And of course, if you listen, it's kind of me. Basically, And what we decided to do was we got someone in to play my wife, a very talented proper actress. She actually does musical theater. Her name was Erin Granfield, and she played my wife on the show. And then also another professional artist, someone called Marika Contouris, who directs local community theater and smaller productions, and also some bigger productions in the Washington, D.C. area. She did a couple of different voices, including the girl in the coffee shop who the lead character Bill works with. What we decided to do with my partner, Eric, was, well, I can do a lot of the other little parts. So instead of him having a character every week, he would put on different voices and do different parts. So right now in this clip, you can listen to Eric play a doctor.
Oh, my head feels a bit funny, and that banging really just isn't helping.
Doctor, what do you have going on here?
Oh, they're redoing the hallway.
Blimey, that banging's a bit much. I mean, what about the patients? Like this one here with her head throbbing.
That's a fair point. It's not ideal, the drilling and the banging.
Then again, it's a good test for a concussion. If the banging bothers you, then you might have one.
Very funny.
So, Doctor, what are you thinking for my young charge here?
Well, we're looking at about a half a dozen stitches, I think. Can I ask what happened? Head hit the radiator, it says here on the chart.
There was blood everywhere.
I'll bet. You look like you've done a couple rounds with Muhammad Ali.
Who's Muhammad Ali?
You see, the doctor here knows.
Yes, the golden era. Thrill in Manila. Rumble in the jungle.
Yes.
Do you think I might have blacked out? Maybe I'm unconscious and dreaming, because all the adults around me that keep talking about random people, I have no idea who they are.
Okay, so now we're going to give you some Novocaine. We'll have to inject 4 or 5 times around the cut so that it doesn't hurt when we stitch you up.
4 or 5 with a needle?
Whoa, that's going to hurt a lot.
Bill!
That's modern medicine for you. A bit of bait and switch. You come in here hurting for one thing, they put you in pain with something else, and then you've forgotten about the thing you came in for. Christ, look at the size of that needle.
Bill!
If you think you're unconscious, seeing that thing coming towards you will wake you up in a hurry.
Bill!
Steady now.
Ow!
1 down, 4 to go.
Oh!
2's company.
Ow!
Just a couple more. Hold still.
3's a crowd.
Please shut up.
And there's 4 on the floor.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I just couldn't think of any boxing references.
Where are the others?
No, but I figured it was a running joke type thing.
I'm not laughing.
Then you might have a concussion. And if you do, you won't remember any of this anyway.
Okay, let's let that get to work, and then we'll stitch you back together. You'll be so numb you could get in the ring with Joe Frazier and not feel a thing.
Joe Frazier!
Who? The doctor's right. It's already going numb. Look, if I push, I can't feel anything.
Enjoy it while you can, sweetheart. There'll come a time in your life when going numb will be the only way to get through it all.
Okay, a few more minutes and we'll stitch you up. Now, once they are in, leave them in for 5 days. Don't pick at them, fiddle with them, or get them wet.
Get them wet? How am I supposed to wash my hair?
Put a plastic bag over your head. When you're running out of air, the stitches will be the last thing on your mind.
So that was a clip from When in Foam from the episode Second Man. My partner played the doctor. That was the only name the character had. And obviously, as you can tell from that, my character and my stepdaughter end up at the doctor because she's been hit on the head. And Eric played the doctor. Now, I did promise while we self-promote and do clips that it would all be in the in Atlantic voice fashion, meaning it was my partner and I. So you're probably sitting there and you're thinking, well, I could tell that was Eric. He just did it in his sort of voice, slightly deeper voice. So let me play this next clip. Now, this next clip appears in the second episode, which is called When in Foam, of the show When in Foam. And to set up this, our lead character, Bill, has decided to quit his job in distribution and he's gone to work at his local coffee shop. So the sort of climax of episode 2, when he goes to work at the coffee shop, is we have a montage of him serving different customers who are all asking him for, how should I put it, eclectic coffee drinks. And I say eclectic because when I go to the coffee shop, I have the same thing every day. a cafe au lait, or in Starbucks, that's a misto, which is basically regular coffee with some steamed milk in the top, if you didn't know that. I'm not a three shots of this, two shots of that type chap. I just have an au lait. But anyway, in this next scene, this is the climax of episode 2. Eric, you will actually hear, plays 3 different characters. Yes. Go ahead and listen.
Okay, are you ready? You know your drinks?
The sheets? Yeah, I've read them. Honestly, I think I'm ready to take some customers on my own.
It's not too busy right now, so it should be a comfortable pace. But Bill, we're not working without Annette completely. I'll be right over here.
In case I get into hot water, right?
Very good.
What can I get for you?
Extra dry latte, please.
What's that?
I'd like my latte extra dry.
Sorry, I'm new. I'm not following you. I mean, I've heard of hard or soft water, but I'm not sure how to make it drier. Hey, we do sell beer and wine. I can offer you a dry white. Then again, it's only 11:30 in the morning, but hey, whatever gets you through the day, right?
Extra dry means extra foam.
Oh, of course. Yeah, you're right. And it's definitely too early for the other.
Is there anyone else that can help me?
I'll make you one.
Order on the bar. Excuse me, my mocha. I asked for sugar-free.
You did? Oh, my bad. Still, going all in now and again ain't the worst thing in the world, right?
I'm a diabetic.
Oh. Well, I guess that's why the Italians invented a mocha, so you didn't have to go completely cold turkey.
Is there anyone else that can help me?
No, relax. I'll make you another one. Order on the bar.
Yes, can I have a large steamer, please?
A what?
A large steamer?
No offense, mate, but this isn't that type of store.
A large steamed milk.
Oh, yeah, I've got you, mate. Sorry, I just, it was just the way you said that.
Is there anyone else here who can help me?
Order on the bar.
Yeah, hey, can I get a cafe gamosa?
Gamosa? What do you think this is? An Indian restaurant? I'll have 2 gamosas and 1 samosa.
It originated in the Pacific Northwest.
Really? I didn't know that. Still, I'm sure they like curry in Seattle.
Is there anyone else there?
Order on the bar.
Excuse me, my Olay seems a little light on the milk.
Sorry, I must have mistoed that. Get it?
What?
A misto and an Olay. They're the same thing.
Quite.
Let me get it fixed for you. Just a second. Hey presto, replacement drink. Or should that be Olay replacement drink? Get it? Olay? Olay?
Is there anybody else who could help me?
Order on the bar.
Could I get a tall Americano, please?
Tall Americano. Of course. Espresso and hot water. Sorry, I'm new at this.
Very straightforward.
I know. I just get it confused with a Canadiano.
A Canadiano?
Yeah, just like an Americano, but without the bitter aftertaste. Get it? Canada? America?
There has to be someone else that can help me.
I've got it. Order on the bar.
Can I get a yun-yun, please?
A yun-yun? What the heck is that? Let me see. Yun-yun. Is that like a double shot of something? Like a mocha-mocha?
It's a Chinese mix. Coffee, milk, tea. Is Danielle working? She knows how to make it.
Hold on. Danielle. This gentleman.
I'm not a gentleman.
What?
I said I'm not a gentleman. I identify as gender fluid.
Gender fluid? You mean fluid like a cup of coffee fluid?
Fluid as in I don't identify myself as a man.
No, not a he.
Nor do I identify as a woman.
Not a she. You can't be an it, surely?
No, I'm not an it. I'm what's called non-binary.
If you're not a he or a she, then you've got to be in it, right? Look, I'm not trying to be reactionary. I'm living that live all the way, but I'm a tiny bit confused. It's been a bit of a struggle with the drinks. This is my first day, but now with this, you know, grammatically speaking, which to be fair has been an issue at Foam, what with the whole hyphen confusion?
Listen, non-binary is the correct term, or simply put, we're referred to as they.
They? Like twins? Oh, is this why you order a yun-yun? Are you going to order a double or 2 of them?
there anybody else who can help me here?
Let me make you another one. Or two. Or three. Four drinks, and then at that point, we'll be sure everyone's covered. Order on the bar.
Could I please get a ristretto?
A risotto? No, we don't do full meals. Just sandwiches, pastries.
A ristretto is like a short shot of espresso, half the water. It makes it more concentrated.
Believe you me, I'm trying.
Is there anyone else that can help me?
Order on the bar.
Could I get a medium cortado, please?
Cortado? Ooh, I love that. I love saying cortado. I would like a cortado. A cortado would really make my day. Cortado, cortado, my kingdom for a cortado. Hung, drawn, and cortadoed.
There has got to be somebody else who can help me.
This is what I'm getting to know.
So all kinds of voices in there. You would have heard, let me see, some teenagers, an older dude, and then random people who I grabbed and said, read this into the microphone. And I was like, do you want to be on the podcast? And so I'd sit them down at a table. I'd read my lines and they would read their lines and they were all customers and it was real quick. And anyway, we got Eric there to play. I think he played three different customers. Hopefully they were clearly three different people. One chap who wanted a steamer. The other one asking for the aforementioned Olay. And then, of course, the person who wanted a Yung Yung, which is actually a real drink, and all the shtick that came off it. So anyway, that's When in Foam. And the reason I'm talking about that show is, one, obviously, we're very proud of it because we created it from scratch. And it is a lot more work than my partner and I just sitting across the table talking to each other. And I don't want to sit here and tell you that we just make that up as we go along. We actually do prepare sometimes, you know. But that was something that we created. And I do know, long-time listeners of the show will know that for this year, every year, sometime in January, we always do our resolution show. So you can go back into the archives, which is at the bottom left-hand corner of the blog page. And there's a little drop down and you can click on a month and you can find shows from all the way back in time. But we do a resolution show every January. And for this year, Eric's resolution was to row, 1,000 miles or something. I don't know. You'll have to listen to the show to figure it out. And no doubt when he claims that he did it in January, I will call him on it, because right there, I have now attributed to him some grandiose claim that I know is not possible. Anyway, if you listen to that show, you'll also hear that my resolution was to script some new material. And we actually hope to have, depending when we can get people around a microphone, we hope by Christmas to release a When in Foam Christmas special. And that's all I'm going to say. So that is a live show, and you can live, meaning an ongoing production. You can find all the episodes there on the blog, AtlanticVoice.net, which I've now said for the 9th time, but I said I was going to say it a lot. You can also find that on iTunes and Spotify and Google. We were so proud of the fact that we'd just written all that and finished it and put it out there and produced it and got sound effects and did the whole nine yards, that we decided we're going to bombard the internet airwaves with it. So you can't go anywhere without typing in When in Foam by accident and listening to us. Anyway, if you ever want to listen to that, please go ahead and do so. I'm going to give you a personal opinion. Episode 1 is not very good, but the other 4 aren't too bad. That's my opinion. So that's When in Foam. Also now, so let's go back. If you are on your device or at your computer, go back to AtlanticVoice.net and now investigate around the page. And you will see, so probably down the page on the right, you'll see a column that says Email from America Raw. And I'm going to play a couple of clips of that next in this put together, thrown together, do it yourself, doing it on my own Atlantic Voice podcast special. Now, give you a bit of history about Email from America. So my partner and I had been doing the podcast for a couple of years, and I have an old friend who I'm going to shout out now. His name is Matthew Layton. He actually is in radio for real. He has had the best job for years. He's a radio producer. He has presented shows. I am deeply envious of him because he's terrific at it, and just something you can tell. Eric and I have regular jobs, but we do this because we love doing it. But there is a part of me who, if you could drop me into a new life, would be more than happy to sit in front of the microphone and present. And I guarantee many of us have been through that stage. I know he's not here, but I will speak for him. I guarantee Eric would love to have one of those late night rock shows where he would play deep tracks from his favorite bands, and almost like an old-fashioned disc jockey. And I say old-fashioned because I don't really listen to regular radio now. I do listen to satellite radio. I know Eric just listens to podcasts pretty much in his spare time. But the old-fashioned DJ, if you are of indeterminate middle age and you grew up with, they're a thing of the past now. They don't exist. The dude who would play stuff and you would know that if I'm listening to Zeph or listening to Eric, that DJ was going to play music that spoke to you. So anyway, I want to give a shout out to my good friend Matthew, who is currently working in Australia in internet radio. But for a while, he ran a community station, a community internet radio station in London called Zone One Radio. And because we've known each other for years, he called me up and he was like, "Hey, I hear you've been podcasting." And I was like, "Sure." And he was very nice. He said he'd listened to our show and he'd loved our back and forth. And he was looking for people to create content for Zone One Radio. So over the course of about 4 years, I did about 30 episodes for Zone One Radio of a show called Email from America. And basically, because this was community radio, what I did was I would go out and do sort of feature stories from the U.S. and I would also play U.S. music, and I would put it all together into 1 hour form, send it back to London, and he would throw it up on the internet and out on the community radio airwaves. And so it was a slightly different format than the kind of radio you listen to now or the kind of podcast you listen to now. It was sort of two things. It would have six or seven songs over the course of the hour, and then I would also cut in, you know, a feature or an interview that I'd done. And then I would also do something at the end called the Email from America, where I would do a little sort of 2 or 3 minute commentary on whatever was happening at the time. If you are of a certain age, you might remember a radio and television correspondent, radio and television journalist, a chap called Alistair Cook, who in the 60s and 70s, he worked for the BBC. And every week he would present a show from the US, and at the end of it, he would do the same thing. He would call it The Letter from America. And he would share with all of us back in the UK something about the United States. So, to be entirely upfront, this show was a shameless, this Email from America was a shameless ripoff of The Letter from America. But we did enough by calling it an email to get ourselves out of any kind of legal hot water. So I did about 25, 30 episodes of this, and along the way interviewed some really interesting people. Someone called Adam Winkler, who is a UCLA professor who'd written a definitive book about the Second Amendment and gun rights, which was fascinating. My personal highlight was getting to interview Lalo Schifrin. Now, that name may not mean anything to you, but if I say to you, that's the dude that wrote the Mission Impossible theme, then in your head, you're humming whatever version, the old version with Peter Graves and Leonard Nimoy, or the new version with Tom Cruise and Simon Pegg and Ving Rhames and whoever else. But yes, I interviewed that guy. That was a huge thrill. He'd also done the music for the Dirty Harry movies and Bullet with Steve McQueen and Cool Hand Luke. And somehow, Matthew got me hooked up with him. And so I interviewed him from his home in California over the phone one afternoon. And because I loved all those movies and I love all that music, that was like the biggest personal thrill. Like, even if no one ever heard that interview, it didn't matter. I got to talk to Lalo Schifrin. And we did. We talked about when he was a young composer and he'd come from Argentina and he'd gone to spend time in London and then he'd gone to Hollywood, and, you know, himself and John Williams,
famous name, the guy who did the Star Wars theme and Raiders of the Lost Ark and works with Steven Spielberg, and another chap called Jerry Goldsmith, who's done so many movie themes. All these guys knew each other, and they were all young men working in Hollywood, and so he talked to me about that experience. So that was a real thrill. So anyway, I did all these shows for Matthew, but I've got all these interviews, and I have all this content, and I didn't know what to do with it. Now, obviously, one of the catches of radio is music. You can't play music without a license. Now, I know Eric and I get around it a little bit on shows where we are talking about music and doing stuff like that. We sort of play the clip, but we talk over it, and we sort of stick between that. There are these sort of official, unofficial rules about using music that you don't have a license to play. If you are critiquing it, you can play it. If you don't play too much of it and you're talking over it, then no one really chases you down. But what you can't just do is just play a song for 3 minutes. That's why radio stations exist and make money, because they've paid thousands of dollars to have the rights to play music. So the problem with the Email from America, the problem with the show in its original form, which was interview, song, interview, song, interview, song, was that even though I've got it all, I can't put it on the AtlanticVoice.net because someone somewhere might go, you're playing that song by the Eels and you don't have permission. You're playing that song by Rush, you don't have permission. So what I've done is I've taken all these old interviews, and just because my partner and I have a blog, and just because we pay to put content on the internet, this is not free, you know. Even though we don't charge you out there, friends of the pod, actually does cost us a little bit of pocket money to do the podcast, but what the hey, it's a hobby, we love it. I only say that because the new license for the website is due, and that's $200 for a few years. It gives us the rights to the name AtlanticVoice.net and our space on the internet and all that type of stuff. Anyway, what I've done with all that other content is I've spent some time now going through it and actually cutting out the music. And if you actually listen, you'll get me, you'll get the station's jingle, you'll get a bit of an interview, and then you'll get like 5 or 6 seconds of a song that you might be able to identify and go, ooh, I wish he was playing that, but of course we're not allowed. So then it fades out, and then the interview continues. And so you have a couple of different shows, each one about 35 minutes long, and it's very much just the interview that I have. And like I say, I talk to some really, really interesting people. So in fact, if you come back to the blog a week from now, you will see on our latest show, you will see an email from America interviewing a chap called Enzo Garcia, who is a folk musician in San Francisco.
This is Zone One Radio.
Zone One Radio.
For you, you're here for me, we're here for each other, that's humanity.
I'm Zeph, Zone One Radio's illegitimate expat son, and this is an Email from America quick link. Folk music, beards, Birkenstocks, jewelry made out of hemp, and not washing your armpits. Oh, that's unfair. I'm showing the cultural bias of a man of indeterminate middle age who grew up listening to Kajagoogoo. Ooh, that's an 80s pop reference for you. In this clip, I speak to San Francisco folk musician Enzo Garcia, who gives me a little insight into how folk music in the U.S. mirrors the country's cultural history.
Calling it North American folk music, I mean, North American folk music to me is a world music genre, because, the United States has roots being founded, by the Spanish and then the English later. And so there's those musics. There's music from Africa, there's influences from all over, because, the United States is a melting pot. So all those things, all those influences get incorporated into North American folk music. So I see it as a very broad genre, which as an artist is a very liberating place to work and create.
Zone1Radio.com.
So there you go. I am now promoting, self-promoting, shameless self-promotion of our own website. Come back and listen to When in Foam. Come back and listen to the email from America. And you just heard Enzo there, who is a friend of a friend of a friend, which is how I twisted his arm to come on the show. And we did play his music on that show. And because it's his, I'm like, no, I'm playing it because I know him. And we talked a lot about folk music. To give you a sense, another sense of the show, how about listening to this clip, which I will play shortly, which is me going to the racetrack, the horse racetrack, in Charlestown, West Virginia. Now, I love horse racing. And I think on that show, I talk about the fact that my father taught me how to read a racing form when I was a kid. I love going to the horse races and throwing a few dollars around and betting on number seven and betting on number nine and never bet on the gray horse and always bet on the one that takes a leak right in front of you because you know that that horse is ready to go. Like any other casual punter, I love going to the horse races and watching them. If you go back to the Atlantic Voice from 2018, when I went to Florida, I went to the Greyhound Racing down in Florida, and we talked about that on the show. I think it was April 2018, maybe, or maybe April 2019, and we talked about going to Greyhound Racing, and I know Greyhound Racing now is no more in the state of Florida. And if you are a don't-hurt-the-dogs person, please do not email and hassle me, okay? I just bet on them racing, but by the by. Anyway, I was a guest at Charlestown, and they let me, for the day, go to the morning workouts on the track. They let me go inside the rail in the evening, and I was able to record everything at the starter's gate as they load up the horses. And that show will appear on the blog at some moment in the next year or two. But there was one moment when I was with the track superintendent and I asked him very upfront, what happens to all the horse poop? In this clip, he explains.
This is Zone 1 Radio.
Zone 1 Radio.
Well, sit, children. Let me give you the subject of the day.
I'm Zef, Zone 1 Radio's illegitimate expat son, and this is an Email from America quick link. Now, I visited the historic Charlestown Racetrack over in West Virginia to find out what goes on behind a day at the races. But me being me, well, I got all caught up in figuring out what happens to all the, well, track superintendent Doug Ballard was happy to set me straight. Rest assured, I'll never look at a mushroom omelette the same way ever again.
The guy's shoveling the wheelbarrow. He actually works for the trainer. They either pay them by the hour or they pay him by the stall. And that's referred to as mucking the stalls. They go in and clean up where the horses mess overnight. And pretty much each stall is going to be a large wheelbarrow full. They come in, they pick through it, they clean it up, get the wet spot, they get the manure out, they take it out, and they throw it into the dumpster. They go back in, they re-bed the stall that's there. Then while that horse is at the track, the horse comes back, he has a fresh stall. These tubs are dumped daily. By the end of the day, every one of these tubs will be full.
Okay.
There are 56 of these tubs, and the guy comes in at about 11 o'clock and he'll start hauling these over to the manure building, which is all we have to keep the manure and straw cleaned up off the asphalt because of drainage purposes for DEP. So it has to go over to the manure building, which is a closed roof facility where it can't get wet. Then the manure company, actually they're not a manure company, they're a mushroom farm.
Oh.
They come in and he pays his guy to haul these tubs over there, dump it, then we'll show you the whole operation. They load the tractor trailers up and they carry three tractor trailer loads of this out of here every night.
Oh, wow.
So it's 300 yards of material every night that goes out of here. And you can't let it set because it has to be, it becomes a compost.
Okay.
He takes it to Pennsylvania Farms, sets on his operation, they compost it for a year, then they sell it and put on the mushroom farms after it actually is a process of cooking down. It actually sets there, cooks down, and If you put it on the field right now, you'll burn it up because it's too strong. But after it cooks down, and if you don't stir it during this process, it'll catch fire.
Wow.
That's how much heat gets stored in it. You can actually, at the compost field that the guy has out the road here, they actually put dead animals. They have a license to, and you put dead animals in, and the compost actually cooks the animals.
Oh, wow.
And then it gets mixed. Then it breaks all the way down. Then they mix it with topsoil, and that's where your, like, peat moss comes from. It is an organic, rich soil. So everything gets recycled.
Zone1Radio.com.
So there you go. All the horse poop from the racetrack goes into an area, it's shipped up to Pennsylvania, and ultimately it is used to fertilize mushrooms. Yes, the mushrooms on your pizza have probably been fertilized by horse poop from the racetrack. I'll leave that with you. Early in the show, one of the first emails from Americas, I went out there and just asked, because remember, this was being done for an audience back in London, back in the United Kingdom. I'd gone out there and I'd interviewed regular folk about the royal family and all kinds of stuff, and basically done a show, light comedy, sort of man on the street interviews, and got people to say funny stuff. And of course, I was able to twist my partner to do a segment with me where we talked about the state of the relationship between the United Kingdom and the United States.
With me is a special guest appearing courtesy of another audio piece of entertainment that I'm involved with, but appearing courtesy of the Atlantic Voice podcast is special...
At AtlanticVoice.net? Is that the one you're talking about?
I was going to give you a chance to promote that a bit later, okay. But appearing courtesy of the Atlantic Voice is our special correspondent, Eric. Eric's going to talk to us about how British culture is all played out.
Well, not really so much how much British culture, but what is America's perspective on British culture? And you've heard me talk before on the AtlanticVoice.net about arcs. Stories have arcs. Arcs, and they're more interesting when they have an arc. And I feel like we've gone through a little bit of an arc with Great Britain in terms of Americans' perspective on it. And we've done this many times over history. It's like a on-again, off-again relationship.
Okay.
And, like, the most recent arc, I think I was looking back at, you know, what's gone on over the past few years, and I think it starts from 2010 and the engagement. You know, great engagement of Prince William and Kate, right? Kate Middleton. And it suddenly all these Americans very interested in this sort of stuff. It's very interesting. Oh, we'll go do this stuff. And then, you know, what comes next? In 2011, the wedding. This is big. People are watching this. They're really getting involved with this stuff.
Can I interrupt you for a minute?
Sure.
What about Lady Di?
That was the last arc. That was our prior relationship.
Oh, I see. We're only doing the latest
arc. This is the more recent arc of things. That's what I say. It's an on-again, off-again. We have little phases. Right. You know, you have phases when the music comes over. Everybody gets all infatuated with the British. And listen, how do arcs go? I'm going to explain how arcs go, of course, here.
Go for it.
But they go down.
All right.
Right? So here we are. We're in the wedding, right? We got the wedding going on. Then we have this jubilee thing, which, frankly, I don't understand. There's a Queen's Diamond Jubilee, right? Is that what it was?
It was a
big anniversary. There was lots of boats on a river and all kinds of things like that. It was a big ceremony.
It is a celebration of oppression.
There you go. Well, you know, nothing Americans like better than a celebration of oppression. I don't know. That's in 2012, early 2012, right? Then what do we get? Now we're really, this a relationship is really hitting its stride. We've really got a deepening fascination with the Britain during the Olympics, right? So we have the end of 2012, we have the Olympics. And you know, you guys had your nice little haul. It was a very special occasion for you guys with your 29 gold and 65 overall medals.
It was. We dominated.
Yes, it's slightly more than half of what America got, you know, the 46 golds and 104 total medals. So dominated, you know, I guess dominated in the sense of countries that weren't America or China.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, that's fair enough.
I mean, you certainly dominated the Australians.
Exactly.
You know, they got cleaned out. I was looking on the table. They're way
and
down
France.
The table. Are they in the Olympics? I don't remember.
Well, they're in the same division as us.
Okay.
All right. So anyway.
I don't remember that. So then we go on. That's the Olympics, and that's the peak. But now we're starting to come around the backside of things.
Okay.
And you know what especially goes downhill, although you'd think it was uphill. You know, it's a big event. Birth of Prince George, which really, I mean, look at these you know, Kate and their relationship awfully fast with this whole engagement, married, kid, boom, they're going right through the whole thing.
But that's your job when you're a royal.
Yeah, I guess so. And so that happens in July. And what always happens when you get to a relationship and the kid comes along? You know, it's like a different thing. You know, the romance is gone.
I
you
see
know,
where like you're all going those
sort
this.
Of stuff. Now we're on the back end. I think that's pretty much it. I think we're like sort of like that was the last hurrah, the big thing, and now we're moving on to other things.
So now you're saying now that the baby has arrived, you no longer fancy us. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we've moved on. The fad is over.
Okay.
So now we have to move on the next big thing.
Who are you replacing us with?
The Brazilians.
Seriously?
Yeah, I mean, listen, let's be honest, better looking.
Okay.
More, you know, exciting. You know, it's very much a rebound kind of relationship.
Okay.
You know, we were there at the Olympics together.
Yes.
And we saw the Brazilians there. They were all over the place.
Okay.
It's like they were already infiltrating the relationship. And as an American, you know, you find you're very interested in the London folks, and then you go, well, look at those Brazilian fans with the chicken hats on.
That's
they're sitting
right.
there at the volleyball game with all these hats that look like chickens on, and they're running around, and, you know, they're pretty good looking, those Brazilians. Not too bad. Certainly the ones that, like, are showing up at the Olympics in London, you know.
So what
bad.
You're saying is Uncle Sam and Aunt Samantha are now falling in love with Brazil. That's what you're telling me.
Right, that's right. Yeah, okay. It goes either way. I mean, guys from Brazil, they're very nice looking. I'm thinking about it from my perspective, but it's a whole thing. It's a part of the new relationship. But the thing is, listen, don't worry. It's a rebound relationship.
Okay.
You know, because this isn't going to work out. We all know it's like a midlife crisis. The kid came along. We're going to go over to the Brazilians. But who do we always come back to?
Exactly.
We always come back to you
guys. With the girl next door.
Exactly.
With the girl you grew up
exactly.
with.
Exactly. So don't worry. We're on the back side of the arc, but I won't be 4 or 5 more years until we're back interested in something else on there. Maybe as young Prince George is approaching his teen years or something like that and getting himself involved in scandal with his Uncle Harry.
It would appear that America only falls in love with one type of country. That's basically whoever's hosting the Olympics. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, no, it does seem a little convenient. I mean, it is true that, of course, the Brazilians are going on there. So, but I mean, I guess it's something like it's the visibility level, right? You know, how foremost is it in our minds? Just like a fancy relationship, you know, it's like, oh, you know, they're there all the time. And suddenly, before you know it, you've fallen for them.
All right.
And now, I mean, of course, the Brazilians do have some downsides. There's the grinding poverty. I mean, that's, you know, that's the bad parts of this relationship. You know, like you may be infatuated with them, but it's kind of like a crazy girlfriend, you know.
Yes.
Like there's a little bits and pieces. You don't really want to spend too much time there.
Whereas
family is a little dangerous. All the other parts of South America, you know, kind of things like not totally comfortable hanging around with the family kind of thing.
So what you're saying is Britain is the rather staid librarian type girl who's always just there.
She's always cute. I mean, you know, it's not bad or anything like that. I don't want to put anything down. We're, you know, I want this breakup to be amicable. You know, but there is one other thing I have to mention about this.
Let's hear it.
The AtlanticVoice.net, of course, features in this relationship between America and Great Britain. We try to come up with things going on. This is awkward that I have to break this to you here.
Sure.
But I need to find a Brazilian for the – we're going to have to change the name of the podcast. So Atlantic Voice, I guess maybe it's – Inter-American Voice or something like
the
that.
The Gulf of Mexico Voice?
Yeah, something like that. And I'm going to need a Brazilian. If you could do a Brazilian accent, we could pretend, I guess.
Hola.
There you go.
Eric has appeared courtesy of the Atlantic Voice podcast, which can be found at
AtlanticVoice.net. Also on iTunes. Just head on over to iTunes and check it out. You get to listen to Zeph in multiple venues.
Meanwhile, everyone back at Zone 1 HQ and Hammersmith are pulling their teeth out at this cross promotion. Thank you, Eric.
So there you go. Did we sound that? I think that clip is 7 years ago. Did we sound different then? Sounded younger. sounded like we were forcing it more. Because now, again, we have podded for over 7 years. We have hundreds, have a couple hundreds of hours of shows, I think. I have them all on my computer. And of course, I did put all the Atlantic Voices together. So one last promotion of the blog. So, okay. So let me start all this again. So you're on AtlanticVoice.net. You've clicked on the top of the very top of the page that has the latest show. You've gone a bit further down. You've looked at When in Foam and you've seen, ooh, where can I find back episodes of the Atlantic Voice? You've also investigated the archives drop down over on the left-hand side of the page. You've also looking at the latest email from America Raw, called Raw, because I've cut out all the music. It's just the interviews and the jingles. All the way down the bottom on the right, you'll see a box, and it's called AV Stream. You'll see a little play arrow. If you click on that, you can click on that and leave it running. You can leave it running for as long as you like, and all you will hear is a constant rotation of our back catalog. I think I have it set up so it'll play one from 2013 and then one from 2017 and then one from 2020 and then one from 2014. And that's, you don't control it. You just press play or stop. And like a proper radio station, you can listen to Eric and I for as long as your heart desires. I think, as I said one year, because it ended up on the Best Of Show, it might be cheaper just to pay us to come and hang out at your house. That was the line that we had when we were talking about it. But we do exist. We have our own radio station, and it is just us. Nonstop Atlantic Voices. So you don't have to think. You just click on, and you're like, oh, this must have been from such and such. Oh, and they're talking about that. Ooh, those two are wrong again. So that's the Atlantic Voice stream. I've lost my train of thought now. Sorry. So we've toured around the blog. But anyway, if you listen to the stream, let me tell you something. Sitting on your own with a microphone, keeping on talking, is the hardest thing on the world. As you can tell, this is not scripted. This is just coming into my head. It's coming out of my mouth, and it's going into the microphone. And now that happens normally on a regular week. But at least with my partner, we both give each other, you know, a couple of minutes when we're not talking to think up whatever inane thing we're going to say next. Right now, I do not have the luxury of that process in time. Anyway, did we sound different in that clip from the landing from the email from America? Yes. But if you go back and click on the stream, well, in this sort of kind of chapters of life, you can probably, long-time listeners will be able to click play, and it should say in the box what show you've clicked into, but you can probably guess from when it was. Wasn't there a movie a couple of years ago? What's his name? The director did it, and it was called Boyhood, and it was like the stages of life. I think he won an Oscar for it. Anyway, our stream is some variant of that. You can click on, and you can go, oh, yep, this is these two clowns from 5 years ago. Ooh, this sounds like those two from just last week. So again, we have a stream. You can go around the website. You can find other shows. You can find Email from America. You can find When in Foam. If you don't want people talking, you want actually something that's more, you know, more like standard entertainment, in inverted commas. Anyway, this has been the longest infomercial ever. Infomercial for ourselves, for the Atlantic Voice website and all its content. I would say this to you, if you're sitting here going, wow, this was all a bit repackaged. Well, kind of, but if you haven't listened to those shows, then what do you care? It's new to you. Unlike the best of, which we're very proud of. And it's funny when people come to me and they go, I hear you and your buddy, I hear you've got a podcast. I always say to them, and I think Eric does the same thing to people he meets, is always send them a link and go, look, just listen to the best of. And I'll send them a link to two or three best ofs. And I always tell people that's the best way to get introduced to whether you want to become a fan of the show. And I don't mean this in any kind of sort of arrogant or self-aggrandizing way. We do have a lot of fans out there. There's a couple of hundred of you that listen with regularity. And as I say, every time I do a clip show, thank you very much. Because you make it worth it. Now, I think people who actually know my partner and myself would know that we'd probably sit there and talk to each other about the stuff we talk about if it was just he and I. But it's kind of fun to talk about it in front of or to other people. And I thank you if you've stuck with us over the years. And I don't know. I did talk at the start of the show about the statistics and knowing where people are. I actually don't know who listens to the show, so I do not physically know if you, yes, you sitting there on your computer right now, have listened for all 7 years. But however long you've listened, thank you. But if you listen today, well, like I say, some of these clips hopefully were new to you. So until our next show, and we will have a show, my partner and I, we will have a show in a couple of weeks. It'll be an all-new Atlantic Voice podcast. We also do have a couple of other things on the docket as well. One of our listeners, friend of the show, Jenny, her family has chickens, and they want us to come and do a show about chickens. So when my partner and I are out and about the house, we might actually be doing that. And I'm just leaving that there because I can't decide. Hopefully it will be informative and hopefully it might be amusing. And but of course, you're not paying for this show, so I'm not going to make you any guarantees that it will be either. But anyway, we do have some other shows coming up. But again, if you're ever sitting around and you want something to listen to and you're kind of in the mood for us, well, try When In Phone. Try Email From America Raw. Probably a little bit more of me than of my partner. But if you do want a 50-50 experience, then click on the bottom of the blog, click on the bottom of the page, and click on the stream. This has been shameless self-promotion. This has been the Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph. And from my absentee partner and myself, take care. You've just enjoyed Eric and Zeph on the Atlantic Voice Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @Atlantic_voice. You can find the show at Libsyn.com, iTunes, and of course at AtlanticVoice.net. Email us at AtlanticVoice@gmail.com. And now on YouTube, search for the Atlantic Voice. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.